This is a production of Cornell University.
I now call the meeting to order at 4:37 p.m. Tuesday,
April 16th, 2013.
Well, thank you, CJCA, especially Greg, for all your hard work. And we look forward to any new resolutions or things that might come up for the next meeting. And we'll try to cram everything in during our last meeting of the year. Next, we have Campus Welfare Committee, which I've now met. And I apologize for that. And we move on to Campus Infrastructure Committee. And Bridget, so timely came in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All right. Moving right along. Business of the day. We have the Ombudsman Office here today to present on some amendments to their guidelines. So you guys have the floor.
Thank you very much. I'd like to introduce first my colleagues, Linda Foxman and Adam Feinberger, who do the work in the office. And what we are all about today is in some sense, a very simple thing. When the office was established in 1969, Professor Fred Kahn made a recommendation to the, at that time, Faculty Senate, which approved it, and that formed the basis of the guidelines for the Office of the Ombudsman. And it hadn't been changed since 1969. And life at Cornell has changed since 1969 in some ways, and the profession of the Ombudsman has also changed since that time. And so what we have done is to rewrite the guidelines to bring them up to date and to make them at least vaguely consistent with the International Ombudsman Association. And as you are our bosses, we report to you, not to the president or anybody else. We are bringing them to you for your consideration. I can tell you that, in summary, we have removed a number of things that the Ombudsman was supposed to do back in 1969, like rumor control, which is not a big part of our business these days. So heaven knows it could be, I suppose. And the details are really in front of you. And I, as I say, I think the outline is in the transmittal letter, which kind of highlights the main things we have changed. I'd be happy to answer questions. All the difficult questions, of course, would be referred to Linda and Adam, who will know the details.
Just to clarify, does the Ombudsman Office need the University Assembly to approve of the changes to the guidelines?
Yes, we need you to approve these guidelines, mm-hmm. and then I suppose you probably forward them on to the president,
mm-hmm.
who will then forward them on to the University Council. However, we have taken the slight precaution of running it through University Council first, so that they have approved all of these things. But it really is up to you folks.
All right. The Assembly have the guidelines, the revised guidelines, as well as a short outline of the changes made to the guidelines for the Ombudsman Office in front of you. Please take a look at the new guidelines, and if you have any problems with this new guideline, please state it. Mitch?
Are we planning to introduce scrutiny for the resolution for next meeting, or
no, the motion now? It did not go out to the email, therefore we need a chance to review it by the community, a chance to review it before we vote on it.
Does this have to be, this doesn't have to be submitted in resolution form, does it?
Does.
I think it's the charter takes any action that needs to be available for the guards. You can see them through
this one, so just short word. So if I can clarify, the new, it's 1 through 5, page 1 through 5.
Right.
Is marked on there, that's the guidelines as we've heard of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my understanding was that it's been electronically
Unfortunately, we did not send it out to the public, so we cannot vote on it as an assembly because we did not give the community due notice. We also apparently had to present it in a resolution form, so we have to draft that resolution and present it and pass it at the next meeting. But we will make sure that we will do that.
And so just in general, what I would add is that sort of part of the original 1969 guidelines is embedded in this document, and to the extent possible, was actually quoted from that. And the only thing that really of a substantive nature has changed is we, at that time, they talked about doing investigations and record keeping, and that's not consistent with our current practice. It hasn't been for many, many years, and it's not consistent with the International Ombudsman Association.
Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of mentioned that the control, which is something that we apparently didn't consider. So these changes are really a reflection of current practices, and it doesn't necessarily reflect a new particular set of practices.
That's
does that mean that, like, a community member is going to need to think of your office differently?
That's exactly right.
Randy?
I'm just curious. In Northern Retaliation, using our budget document, it says officers have to have the right to freely use the services of the budget document. Retaliation for exercising the right to show up in public. Has there been a problem?
No.
And for one thing, it's absolutely confidential. We don't reveal the identity of anybody that comes into this house. They put on a black cloak at the door and go out the back door. So there's no record, there's no it's very hard to retaliate under those circumstances.
So when we structure this as a resolution, clearly each item has to be structured properly.
And wouldn't this just be an attachment?
Just getting back to the investigative thing, but you do talk to other people on the other side of the issue if there's a
Generally not.
No. So investigative is kind of a funny word because it can go to be have a strong arm, or it could be the ability to call to examine records and to look.
In general, don't do that. In general, what we do is try to support the people who come and visit us, offer counsel and advice. Occasionally, we will make a call on their behalf to get information from some other office of the university. If they authorize us and are willing to waive confidentiality, we will sometimes help them make contact with deans or whatever. But in general, we don't do things like investigate, and we simply deal with the person that comes to us.
The idea is that there's many officers that are involved in the investigation and have sort of thing. We exist as part of the grant guarantee to be a safe place for anyone who has
I can see you're not an agency that has an arm of investigation. But you are able to call on records if you want to. Right.
Thank you. If the Assembly have any concerns about the new Ombudsman guideline, please address that to the Executive Board as well as to the Ombudsman Office. The Executive Board, a.k.a. Liz, will draft a resolution for approval of this new guidelines at the next meeting. Thank you so much to the office for being here.
I just have one final thing to say, which is my appointment expires on June 30th. And so that is going to be something that you folks are going to need to do something about.
Alright, thank you so much for that reminder.
Are you up for reappointment? I have told the President that I would be willing if it was your pleasure.
What's your resolution?
Well, later agenda items. Yeah. We have appointments coming up after the resolution that we will be discussing. So, no worries. We will try to get you back.
Thank you
Thank you. I don't think it's necessary for you to be here. I don't foresee any problems. If there is any problems brought up by the Assembly, we will contact you, and hopefully those emails will be CC'd to you guys. Alright. Thank you so much. Thank you, Liz. Moving on, we have three resolutions to discuss today. So we are going to start with Resolution 6, calling for security design mandate for new buildings on campus. We will start the discussion off from Kathy Zellner, who is a big help in basically writing this resolution.
I have it in front of me.
Yeah. So it came to me to discuss what security issues were prevalent, and these two resolutions are kind of the head titles of those two ideas. I will say on this particular resolution, I just came from a building security committee meeting, which is the very first inaugural meeting of that group that's with facilities and our unit. And we are very much in agreement in what this resolution proposes. Where we fear we might run out of steam is getting university support for when they're doing budgeting models, they won't adopt what we recommend. So bringing this resolution to you as Assembly for review gives an opportunity to see what we're trying to accomplish. So the facility services creates a guidebook for all their project managers. They try to follow that guidebook as they move forward. Architectural design, the whim of the building owner, any one of a number of things can influence whether you go with linoleum or Italian marble, also whether you go with access control or no locks at all. I'm obviously not in the Italian marble business, so we're going to focus on security planning. The idea here is that for planning purposes, that we help the institution create budget models that allow them to plan appropriately the type of buildings that they foresee bringing forward to the master plan, sometimes major renovations as well, because sometimes that changes the function of the building. So that they can bring forward a budget model that includes some physical security measures, everything from interior locks and access control and cameras and whatnot to exterior design, construction, placement, site selection, and then whatever is necessary to help support, again, the physical security of the building. A lot of times when people read this, it reads as if we want to lock everything down. That is actually not the case. The case is that we want to appropriately design buildings for their function on this university. The more classroom space that is really just desk space or seat space for lecture halls, would have a minimum level of security. The more high-level research and controlled substances that we bring up would have a higher level of security. You'll have mixed buildings, so they, you know, the idea is to build a continuum that's easily translatable to providing a budget model that people can support. So there are no mandates for considering security costs. There are guidelines. Much like there are no mandates for being sustainability certified at a certain level. However, the university has adapted that they would set and attain a goal of all buildings being LEED silver certified in all their new construction. We intend to try to design together with facility service a similar type model. We're not going to go platinum here, but let's hit a middle ground. Let's be equivalent with peer institutions and really look at what's going about. Many of these things are already underway. We do have our building security group agreed that we need to have tiered mandates. We're already looking at some construction pricing models, so we're underway with what we're asking the UA to support here. It's a non-contentious resolution. It doesn't require anybody to do anything but look at it and comment and see if there's places where we might have overstepped or maybe missed it.
The floor is now open for speakers. Mitch, then Greg, then
Randy.
Sorry, spaced out.
Spaced out of here.
Is there currently any level of inventory of existing buildings and how they fall under their security?
No.
I know that I'm in the project of our planning. I mean, you know, if you go into the building, you know, that's like a, you know, you could lock that down in a heartbeat. And
in some areas.
Out. Yeah. And then you go to the building and it's like anyone can walk in any time of the day.
Right. And that's our idea, is to try to help standardize buildings and then their space within to try to help. This sets an expectation for our customers. When I walk into Sibley, what kind of spaces that have, therefore I wouldn't expect to be able to walk through the entire building because the museum dead center. You know, some floors I can walk across, some floors I can't. Yes, Milstein is a more modern building, and yet, at the request of the owner, we're now going back and retrofitting network video systems because they feel that there's a need for them now. Whereas if we had done that at the design and construction phase, there would be significantly less cost to the university in installing this. Even to the point where we might just recommend that breakways get put in because the potential for that building's use to change or the potential for people wanting to add security features might be there. But then now, you know, the Johnson Art Museum filling through 2 feet of concrete and lines where, you know, things don't exist. And, assuming that radio transmissions will go up when they, in fact, they just go out. And, you know, correcting some things that are on the design phase, we could add value from our perspective and have trained individuals to work with trained individuals with facilities. So, no, there's nothing standardized, and our hope is to try to, you know, can't go back, but we can go forward. I'll try to say that.
Greg?
How do you measure the ROI?
That's not my field of expertise, but there are some models out there where we work with risk management and talk with facilities, and you look at developing technology, what might not have been a feasible return on investment 5 years ago even now might be a very, very reasonable and low-cost alternative to some other to problem solve an issue that comes up. So the answer is, I don't know exactly, but somebody does, and they're on the team.
Randy?
I'd like to make some comments on behalf of Jim Blair. We have a copy.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to make all corrections on the screen, and if we choose to vote on this, we will vote on the version that's on the screen.
So on line 10 and 11, Jim would like to know, what is the reference or basis for the assertion? What is the testimony from the plaintiff?
What line are you on?
We weren't invited to get the committee, so this is part of the issue.
on number 14, should university architects be added in between facility services and continuing?
Yeah, we've used the facility services as inclusive of the university architect because he's very present, but if you see the value that they add in, we don't, he's on our team.
No leadership.
From my perspective, no, but it's clarifying that we're not going to have an end.
On page 16, just the word buildings just before use doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
I don't see buildings. I don't see buildings.
I don't see a word that I heard.
Oh, okay.
15.
Is that shot on the very time?
No, I would argue that it does because of a special object in security measures.
Is this different than what was sent?
I think it must be because he's responding to lines.
Oh, yeah, this has already been changed.
Well, it looks like from your copy that Jim added stuff, so the lines are different on the copy.
Yeah.
Jim's
comment copy, I think, went out to the group.
So
there are comments inclusive of the
reference.
That's the
same
copy.
Yeah, that's the same thing I have
a comment.
Jim is
okay.
Talking about
one.
Mitch?
I have a commission. I actually do think it would be good to stipulate in facilities, to stipulate the university architect. I know that it is inclusive, but unless you know that,
right.
I think it might help clarify. So I would make a motion to include in line 13, resolve that facility services, including the university architect.
Any?
I know. Okay.
Anybody second this motion? Seconded by Randy. Any objections to this addition? I hear none. Continue on with the discussion. Bridget.
So, just to be clear, this is only regarding new and major renovation.
From the tiered mandate perspective, yes. The Building Security Committee will be looking at all manner of projects. So, for instance, they're doing a Hoy garage lighting redesign. They're adding new lights. Well, that means they're pulling new electrical infrastructure. We have long wanted to get cameras into the Hoy garage, and our constituencies have wanted cameras there. So we are looking, even though that's a small, per se, project, it has a security opportunity that we, the Building Security Committee, are going to look at and then talk to others around the return on investment. This is the time, this is the place, this is what we want to do.
The reason why I asked is because I have been approached as representing Campus Life Building Security. Why some of our resident halls seem to have less security than the newer ones, and we all know why, because new construction is put in, but that doesn't really answer the question for concerned parents and students.
Correct.
And I just was wondering whether there was consideration to add, just bringing everything up to the same level. I mean, I know it's money, but money's one thing, and the security is just not a claim.
And on some level, actually, the other next transition sort of touches on that. not in the depth that you are talking about, but exactly that of, how do we can set the standard and go forward,
right.
How do we retroactively go back and start to clean out the system? I don't have anything resentful about that.
I mean, we've literally had parents screaming at us, to do room changes that we cannot accommodate because we do not have an opening.
Right.
For this reason.
Right.
And
the request is to increase security.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And why does it exist?
family over here, if I was their kid, it would be in the building and have more security when my kid.
Meanwhile, their kid is in the institutionary building and propping up with the door.
Exactly.
And letting everybody in.
Exactly. We know that, but that's not it.
Or better yet, when you look at most campus crimes as a site that makes news, that probably would have made more difference.
Right, but it's
okay.
The perception.
Yeah.
Back on topic. Yep. Thank you. We have Liz and then Greg.
In that name, would it be, considering the sheriff's office, is it really a dress code for the building here, but if we've all spotted, identified every new building, would it be okay to add in renovations somewhere in those resolved spotted?
That's on line 15.
Or even projects, containing projects, so that you're not, instead of worrying about breaking it up,
just in every new and majorly renovated building.
And they should add information to the needs.
I was trying to
yeah, but that's not the spirit of this resolution. That's a totally different topic. Sorry.
I think we are allowed. You are allowed. You are allowed to offer other wording. Oh, wrong. Also copy that onto resolution 7 as well. Thank you.
So we have to copy our resolution 7 for the amendment. This is not a and the two framers of the
resolution right here. And the university architect didn't want to come today. We got to click on that one.
Greg?
So I think this is great, and I think what this does is it hits and it gives a nice sort of spark to a fire for new discussion. I think the retrofitting of old buildings and out-of-date security is an issue that at some point the university assembly as a body and all assemblies should really address as it affects their constituent groups. I don't think we should try to muddy this a little bit with that. I hear the concern, but I think that's a completely separate point, and I would love to tackle that issue at some point, but for that reason, I'd like to call the question.
Seconded. Right, we do. Roll amendment, call the question. I got this time. I swear, third time's a charm. Call the question.
Vote to vote.
Right.
But you want to be one anyway,
in fact.
put it in again. Yeah, it's in March. It'll be fine.
And then by April 2nd, which is the deadline,
by the end of fall,
that's where you
right.
It's
been
a long time.
It should be.
I'm going to be prepared to report back to the year.
That's right. That's my opinion.
Second.
Any objections to this resolution? I mean, this amendment to the resolution? I hear none.
Call.
Any objections to calling the question? I hear none. Any objections to passing the to vote on the resolution? I hear none. Voting on resolution 6, please raise your name cards if you approve this resolution. Nine. Anybody objecting to this resolution? Zero. Anybody abstaining from voting on this resolution? All right. Voting again. Ten. Can we vote again? I will count again. All for this resolution. 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. 10. Anybody object to this resolution? Anybody abstain for this from voting on this resolution? Zero. Resolution 6 passed 10-0. Thank you. Moving on to resolution 7. Resolution 7 calls for increased surveillance and improved lockdown procedures. Again, this issue was brought up by Kathy Donner. So will Kathy start up this conversation with
her? I'm going to Bridget's point. as you read through the whereas, and I know there are some questions on it versus reported data, but we have experienced over time increasing crime on the campus from the time that we have conception. We're adding people, we're adding people in our area. We have an increased level of violence down in the city that then translates up to here. We have a drug culture that's rapidly moving up towards the, you know, the geographical barrier that we had at the uphill. Nobody doesn't want to walk uphill to do bad things. That's changing for, you know, the other ones in transportation and living up in East Hill area where they may not have before. So we are seeing increased not only crime but in the types of crime. We believe that people should feel safe and secure while they're trying to learn. So we have that goal. But we want to balance the right to privacy. We want to balance that people want to feel free when they're out and about, and generally get that feeling that they don't have to lock themselves in the bubble to go everywhere they want to go. We have opportunities to install technology, whether it be access control or network video surveillance systems on the campus to increase that level of security in certain areas. In particular, this resolution addresses the more public and what we particularly call them choke points. So there are areas where people crowd through. And sometimes that's a good thing because there's safety in numbers, and sometimes that's a bad thing because there's anonymity in numbers. So he's called pathways. And we add on extra patrol officer details in the evening hours, especially you'll see those out there in the spring because vandalism and damage to the building that occurs, public nuisance or public ordinance issues. We find people drunk in the bushes at hours. We have to increase our staffing in order to accommodate that. Baltimore Pathway has long been an area of complaints of noise through the recall of the return of the drunks. The arch closed and they parade on up to North Texas and they usually cut right through that Baltimore Archway, which then echoes them down all through, particularly problematic areas for video surveillance because of the proximity of dormitories, but there are opportunities through software to manage that as well. The area of Hill Plaza, that whole central lab area, is a large thoroughfare. That's an area where we've had campuses in the past, which we had them recently, but they are no longer in effect. And again, it sort of ties into this other resolution of looking at when we're looking at major projects, when we're looking at crime data. We are hiring a crime data analyst, which will help us tremendously in providing statistics to support these statements and support recommendations for the use of cameras, as well as access control to help increase the security on campus.
All right. Thank you, Cassie. The speaker's list is now open. We have Greg, then Brandy, then Mitch.
So there's just a few questions I have with the language of the resolution. I think it's good. I think it's positive. I think it's a step in the right direction to help the university not monitor, but be able to react and have good information and data, and when they need it, able to call on information. I do have, when we look at line 24, and I don't know if this can be solved in line 13, but if we can call them ACDs, right, rather than access control, because it's an access control device. So I don't know if we can just change it anywhere it says AC to AC. Because what?
It's not always a device. Sometimes it is a swipe card mechanism, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a lock, and sometimes it's just simply putting a door up or a window up where there wasn't one.
Okay, so the only time it wouldn't be a device is a physical...
some sort of physical barrier.
Or person.
Or a person.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because it's just... that's fine. Then 23 and 24, I don't know if we want to talk about anything about interior and exterior of buildings, because it just says on-campus building.
Just to clarify,
interior and exterior mm-hmm. of campus building.
Well, okay.
So yeah. What?
Because you could be an open area with nobody.
Well, I guess my question. Well, yeah.
Is that true? I mean, so what do you say on campus?
That works for me.
Or university property.
Yeah.
On university property, I think. Anybody second the change to university property? Property. Yeah. Seconded by someone I saw there. Any objections? Okay. We now have that change. Any other?
Yeah, I do. So when you get down to 27, and I'm reading this, I got to just my reading this, but. I don't know if it should say AC and installation of surveillance cameras in/on buildings and outside, or make it say surveillance cameras on university property.
On university property.
But I think it should say and installation of.
Yeah. So the proposal is to add of on line 27 behind AC installation.
Well, no, it would be, nope. Sorry. Nope. It would be, it would be and.
Yeah.
And then strike the S. Of.
Okay.
Surveillance cameras.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that was originally the intent, so.
Well, then you could essentially strike.
Yeah, so strike surveillance cameras. Okay. Anybody second the proposed amendment on line 27? Okay, so let's see it first. Okay, now,
So you don't need that. You don't need that outside.
Because I think it's important that my fear here is that to be able to have outdoor space monitored that's not on and or attached to a building.
This on the
parking lot.
Sorry. On the end of 27, we should also strike the end.
Arguably, the entrance way to a building is actually exterior to space, and that's the place where we routinely have them in place because it's attached to the access control, which then alerts us when someone has propped the door open.
So you were involved, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I'm assuming that we have huge reason for actually having it.
I'm trying to drive people to look for grants.
The revolution from the UA, you guys should put language in there that's actually smaller. So this is basically saying, we don't care grants, we want to do this. Now, if you really are into this in terms of actually trying to get the university to commit, you may want to think about having language a little stronger and say, come on, yeah, we want to
So we have the proposed amendment to the final clause, the final resolve clause. Is there any objections to this amendment? I hear none, so approve that amendment. I just want to say that we put the grant writing clause in there because I was researching and we found that some institutions have basically installed better security measures in NCSS and access control through grants from either the federal government or through other means.
I would say that, but the reality is, go back to the previous evolution. The idea is that you're trying to get them to if they do write the grant and don't get the money, then they've met the terms of your release. Okay? What you want to do is, you can get tell them that there's other ways to get money. But they're trying to get them excited about going, okay, $300,000 to get money.
But I want to leave a reference to fiscal means somehow in there because they might be very supportive of it.
Yeah.
But not put any money in.
Yeah.
Should we ask that the university stipulate? Should we call upon the administration and ask them to go on record essentially? And Kathy, I'm sure this is probably closer when maybe more sensitive for you, but would we want to say something like, we would expect that the university administration commit some allocation of funds to improve NVSS and AC in critical points of the campus or the university property?
I don't know if we want to specify that for this, and then we have any number of other resolutions that involve money, and are we going to recommend that the administration fund those too? I mean,
if it calls for it, sure.
But we haven't done that. Generally speaking, this is fairly unique, if that's making sense.
Wrong.
This
was the first amendment, so we made the change, number 5, which included some sort of feedback and reporting content. So
we
didn't want to go to the president of that. So then why don't you actually put in there in terms of reporting back that the president needs to make a report at a certain point, outlining the steps the university and the concrete efforts of the university to meet the terms of this resolution.
My own.
So if I can bring this all together, first of all, we had one amendment that was to eliminate this grant right, or we had one suggestion that the screw just can meet. This is correct. Am I hearing everybody right?
Yes. Do you want to vote on this now? Any objection? Sorry. Anybody second this amendment? All right. Any objections to this amendment? I hear none. Continue on. Seconded. Any objections to the amendment, proposed amendment? I hear none.
Okay.
Amendment accepted.
So now the next one that we have is
Well, she's typing. Can I make that comment?
Sure.
So from an employee perspective, what's going to happen here is this is going to put a burden on an employee to produce this report for the president. So you're putting the pressure on the president, but then you put the workload back to an employee. And one of the things we hear often is the imbalance of workload because the employees were the constituent group that carried the brunt of the economic downturn. I just have to say that because I represent the EA. This happened in one of the resolutions we put forward asking the president to report on something. And he said basically what's going to happen is teams are going to have admins do this reporting and then send it back up to you, and it really just burdens the staff and nobody else.
This is a big part of what we're doing about that. Right? Everyone sees this as a high priority item. And the idea is that we have to make employees, students, parents, have to make an investment in this. And if we can make the campus from a safer place significantly through this sort of activity, then it might be worthwhile that one person ends up writing a report that he can use to back up. Now, if you know that person, I'm suggesting that he's working on that here, but then he's going to find himself.
Yeah. Well, I guess my point is if we're gonna put the burden, I'd rather put the burden on the university from a fiscal standpoint rather than just a reporting standpoint, because they can report back and say, here's what we've done, and we haven't really had much traction this year, and we're gonna move on. I wanted to pay for it, not report on it.
that's true.
One of the things I have no interest for.
Yes.
One of the reasons behind adding sort of feedback loop would be because it sort of holds them responsible for following through on this resolution. Now, what I'm hearing is that a report is not satisfactory, so that's sort of a feedback. I'm not sure that there's much the university assembly can do besides asking to speak on it.
Issues, and they know from the survey the problem. And and it basically has to go through a hiring phase.
The acquisition of funding thing I can't speak to, but as far as the improvements and physical facilities, that's something my office tracks already anyway. It's going to come to me, and it'll be part of what the security group is going to come in anyway. So I don't anticipate that there's going to be too much strain.
I'm not as worried about the workload, but my point there was that it's just a report. I'd rather call for action than
right.
A report.
But the report is still in action. It's better than, like, if we're asking him to come face to face with us and asking him to be responsible for this particular action, I think that's pulling him to a particular standard. I understand that the frustration of the gap between please come in front of us and talk about your progress as opposed to
just make progress.
I personally believe that President Scorton is probably going to get a briefing from the responsible party and take that report, read it, and then come here and speak about it. I would rather have someone who's directly involved in this project who will know better about the progress and improvements or the fiscal, I guess, needs come here and speak to the assembly or provide a report to the assembly, so they will better know the needs of this particular resolution and outcomes. And
I don't know about the politics of this. This is where my question is coming from. That's where I'm looking at you. So there's two ways you can do it. So I want to come here and make a report, and I go, okay. And I don't care about it. I got nothing to report. They won't even know that I reported nothing to you because they're not even looking. Tell Spartan that he has to come and do it. He's going to go, you mean that report I don't even want to read? And he's like, right. And then he reads that report and goes, nothing's happened. And then the pressure's on him. So if the employee comes and makes the report, I mean, what are you supposed to do? Nothing's happened. I don't have any authority. I can't do anything. But one thing, sometimes you want your provost, so you know, that's one reason why I back in the Senate, the provost is there on a regular basis because someone's going to raise his hand. They're going to go, why?
Okay.
And I've seen him say, okay, this issue has been discussed too many times. I'm going to get that client to some money, and you guys can just stand with each other right there. Done. Okay, but he can do that. So if this is important,
and
you make
I hear you, right? Should we take responsibility on President Scorton or the provost?
No, this is the provost level decision. I mean, this is not academic. So, but I'm just saying that that's the example that I can give. The provost is the provost issue, an academic issue, because this is a provincial issue.
Okay.
But if you get to report from the captain, then he knows what's going on. And what you want to make sure is at the highest level, he's fully informed of the issue. If you think it's important, if you think it's a high priority.
Mitch?
I'm not sure where we are on the discussion.
I believe we are
discussing
the amendment. Any other point on this proposed amendment?
Was there a second to the
amendment? Not yet. Oh, now we do. Any objections to the proposed amendment?
Any further discussion?
I asked for further discussion already.
Well, question the amendment.
Any objection to calling the question on this amendment? I hear none. Any objection to voting on this amendment? I hear none. Any objections to this amendment? I hear none. This amendment has been approved. I can't speak English right now. Mitch?
Okay. Kelly, I have a question. What is the policy 8.1?
The policy 8.1 is responsible use of network video surveillance system. And 8.4 is the access and key control policy.
Okay, gotcha. And then I must have a very minor change, but in the spirit, as minor, but in the spirit of writing high quality resolutions that will really come forever, on line 3, I would say, instead of the university recognizes that the cornerstone of academic learning, blah blah blah, because we don't actually deal with academic policy here. So I would say A cornerstone. We're writing this.
All right. Any objections to proposed amendment? I hear none. Amendment passed.
So, I guess to see my perspective, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with how we're off this resolution. I feel like, it's not pulling out the kind of process. It's really just saying, in a general sense, we want more security. And certainly, I think about my building and the places I use on campus on daily basis. I'm not so sure, but the answer is I'd like to see an access control device that, knowing that I'm a grad student, I know I probably won't have full access to places I may normally use the hours I might be using them now. There's no way of knowing for me to know at this point that, what the future brings, because I won't be making those decisions on which field, where these devices are installed, where, how this will be implemented. So I guess with this resolution today, I feel more if there was a plan, a report in place that says these are the specific buildings that we are going to increase security at, the next steps we're going to take, I'd be open to this resolution. But as it is right now, I think it's a little bit too broad for everything. I'm inclined to oppose it right now.
Not generally speaking. Typically what we end up doing is we end up analyzing problems and talking to building owners, and then we're at the whim of the building owners. So if the building owner wants MBSS, then they get it. If they don't, then they don't. Certain research facilities we strongly recommend, and the risk management group agrees, so then things get put in place. But it's not as tight as it could be. 8.1 and 8.4 do outline procedures and policies in place to help with that. So it might require some study 8.1 and 8.4 to give any comfort to somebody who has to
work. Randy?
I want to speak both to Jim and then to you.
Okay.
First, where I'm at, Jim would like to see what's the reference for the increase in size? How can we increase in priority? Do you think that important? What's up for the future of that?
Not with me, no. I can bring back to the supporting documentation around the increase in bargaining, criminal mischief, over the increase in violent crime assaults, sexual assaults. Well, only certain crimes are. Only violent crimes are mandated. And they changed the name. So if you go back in those statistics, you'll see that they changed the crimes that fall under certain divisions, so they're not the best. The best crime statistics are something that I can provide that are crimes listed by statute and show you also statutes as opposed to what theory deemed the violent crime.
Okay.
And whereas community members, like I said, Jim shortened that, whereas community members had the right to hold perpetrators of crime accountable for their action. Just general.
Yes, there
is. Yeah.
Sorry, let's.
Can you make all the amendments and.
Oh, yeah.
These are various one-off
levels. Okay, and we get interest.
Yes.
As opposed to portion, then you're actually getting that number.
Yep.
just suggested removing the slide 20 and 21 because everybody should be doing that.
Yeah, no, we're not removing that. I was, for the very reasons that Kyle wants to say, you know, that we should be accountable if we're doing these things. There should be some guidelines. There should be some, the other piece of this does tie into the other resolution. So, assuming that we come up with tiered mandates, there will be opportunity to say this is this type of space and it should have this type of access.
If we vote on this, or.
Yep.
And then I want to do that.
All right. Any oppositions to the proposed amendments? I hear none. The amendments are accepted. Randy, for your own.
Yeah. So I want to say when I first came to campus up until about 7 years ago, I thought all the students stayed here. Except for one, we're far better people than I was in terms of character, knowledge, just in so many ways. Just really talented, good people. And that's true. I used to love getting the applications and reading the student essays. This is the time when students go through their own essays, and there were no purchases. And I couldn't wait to meet those people. I honestly couldn't wait. Now I know exactly how many adjectives they're going to use in every sentence, and they're not writing about themselves. Because in general, I believe that people come here to help themselves. There's something missing on the inside. Where our admissions process is looking for these people that have all the external numbers. And that's what we're filling the campus with. So we're also perhaps filling the campus with unsafe people. So there's two ways to make the campus safe. Looking for safe people or having more surveillance. So knowing that this resolution will probably pass, because I understand that's part of it, I'm going to vote against it for the reason I'd really like to see us look for a different type of student, the type of student I used to know that came here. You're going to find.
But if I may think back on that, there are no walls on this campus. The people that travel through this campus, that are causing this campus harm, that are unaffiliated, are very high in number. And the less affiliated they are, I will say, the more likely they are to cause higher damage. Not two letters, but I could probably show you some nice graphs if I could be over my down here. But this open roadways, no blockade. This isn't about whether or not Cornell is. This is about where do we live? We're a city of 35,000 people and an operating daytime status with visitors and drive-throughs and deliveries and students and faculty and staff, and we're adjacent to a town that's about 45,000. So we just moved from down there to up here during the day, but and at night. But what goes on in Ithaca is eventually going to go on up here, absent of taking measures to keep ourselves a little more safe. So it's less about.
Well, I acknowledge that, and it's real, and that's why I won't protest. I'll just vote against. But part of the problem, I see, is people don't have a sense of self. And these cameras aren't going to do anything to have that personal privacy that needs to develop. So I acknowledge that, and it's a real issue. And I'm divided. I'm just more for rebuilding inside.
Thank you, Randy. Before we move on to Mitch, who is our last speaker, I want to propose extending the time of this meeting by 15 minutes. We are almost at 6 o'clock. We still have a lot to do, including appointments, so I hope if you still have time, please stay here with us. Anybody second that motion?
Second.
All right. Anybody object to extending the time of our meeting? I hear none. Moving on to Mitch.
Well, I'll make your statement here.
Thank you.
Parliamentary procedure or in quorum.
Okay.
What's the number that we need for this to be approved?
We just need a majority.
Majority of members present or members seated?
Present. As long as we have quorum.
I don't think that's right.
Is it?
I think it's more than half of seated members.
I tried to look. I couldn't find it. So that's my question. 18.
So we need 9.
No, 10.
Well, 9 and then
well,
it's 9 joint
yeah,
vote.
Exactly. All right.
So I'm going to dissent and call the question, and I would then move to table it if that failed. Because I don't think we have enough to get a good vote.
Can we get a clarification? Is it, are we certain it's of members present? Or other
Yeah, Paul.
Because the only time for the students that we need of seated members are charter changes.
That I also thought that it was bylaw changes.
Right, because that means quorum doesn't mean anything.
I would like to just call the question first. So calling the question on resolution 7. Any objections? Okay, never mind.
He already did that.
Oh.
He already sent it to the call question.
So, can we move on to, our phone friend,
mm-hmm.
can we move on to the appointment?
Yes. Well, first of all, I would like to propose that we do not talk about Resolution 8 at this time.
I have to at least, just to save my soul, when I have a meeting to say that I brought it forward, if we could pass it out, I want to explain it, and then we don't have to do anything about it.
Right. We got
it. Okay, let's explain Resolution 8.
Thank you. I apologize. I should have gotten to join you this sooner. I was in your management and found it wrong. Resolution 8 addresses the Public Safety Advisory Committee, which only last year came to the University Assembly as an associated committee because we were homeless and we were having difficulty getting membership. So to read through the resolution, so the Public Safety Advisory Committee, which is what its current name is, must exist by law. It cannot dissolve the committee itself because it had no ownership. It's a committee that advises, in particular, my offices, some responsibilities to other offices around keeping campus safe. It has to report to the president. The president can designate the work. The president cannot designate the responsibility. The work was designated the University Center last year in light of the sexual assault and the bias crimes that happened last semester. An addendum to an existing committee, executive committee on campus climate, health, and safety, that group would like to take ownership of the Public Safety Advisory Committee, but I'm essentially proposing this amendment. So I don't believe there's any contention. I believe it's the right place for that committee to reside. I couldn't, is it recording that? I better not say this. We were lacking the attention of at the executive level. We have now gained that attention, and the work that is run by that committee is oversight for university-wide strategies for increasing public safety. So again, it's just tie-in with the setup in as much as they would be reviewing those policies and procedures that they came about in the month. It's really just about disassociating the committee from the University Assembly, transferring ownership to the Executive Committee on Climate, Campus Climate, Health and Safety. They are begging, which is why I had to bring it to this table, because if I leave this meeting saying we didn't even talk about it,
Susan and Mary are husband.
Yeah, no. Susan and Mary are both co-chairing this committee, like chapter and verse, what laws you must go home to and know and follow, and all those types of things.
Thank you, Kathy.
It's mentioned in the university assembly bylaws, therefore, it's a
Mitch, is this also, is this on resolution 7 or 8? Okay.
Okay, real quick, in the interest of time, can we make sure we have it? Because what's going instead of just random?
Yeah.
On resolution 8, with this, and I apologize for sitting there, I have no idea what this is. Would the various constituent assemblies, PSA, SIEA, et cetera, be still required or able to send a message?
They have to by law.
They have to by law.
Okay, so this doesn't change anything. Nothing. Even the membership stays exactly the same. It's just a reporting responsibility. And we think it's untangled from the university by law.
Any other speakers? I would like to say that I am the UA member that is sponsoring this resolution, in case anybody's wondering. We don't have the most up-to-date version here today. We can't. Randy?
Where the university assembly had a sustainability committee that was then taken over by the president. And then there was the campus planning committee, which we were associated with, which was voted this way and then taken over by the president's office. So there is some kind of what I would say a trend in this direction from NATO, from taking certain responsibilities from the shared government and moving it to the executive. And I don't know if that's what
you're saying. Yeah, well, because we became associated with the University Assembly last year, and literally by the community begging to get onto the committee, and it was the time to get membership because we were not getting people to become members. We were going to use the assembly methodology to
They
want the direct voice, they want to be able to take action more quickly than some of the protocol issues that you have to air things. You have some of the calls from the university constituency is to
move faster, move faster,
move more forward, and sometimes the university assembly is not the fastest way. Might be the best way, but not the fastest way.
Yeah.
This allows more opportunities for educational programs, more opportunities for addressing public safety things that could come up, whether it's sexual assaults or other violent crimes that happen on campus.
Liz?
I would like to table the discussion on Resolution 8.
Anybody second that motion? Seconded. Any objections to tabling Resolution 8 until next meeting? I hear none. We move back to Resolution 7. Mitch?
So I talked with Evan, and according to Evan, if anyone doesn't know Evan, our parliamentary pro, I trust him on this list with respect to that. He said because this is not a bylaw change and it does just require a full majority, it is a majority of members present, members voting. So members voting means that if only five people vote on it, the majority of those five who vote, abstentions don't count for anything.
And ours have consent.
Thank you, Gary.
You have to phone a friend.
Yes.
I missed the motion that was on the table. I think there were two
Peter, okay. Sorry. Anybody, you second it. Any objections to calling the question on Resolution 7? I hear none. Any objections to voting for Resolution 7? I hear none. Voting on Resolution 7, all that is for Resolution 7, please raise your play cards. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Nope. All that is opposed? 3. All that abstain? 0. Resolution 7 passed to a vote of 7-3-0. Thank you, everyone. To our last business of the day, we have many, many appointments to approve. Sorry. President Scorton. To send one person.
Okay. And what is, I'm asking, what's the rate of that?
Fantastic. Actually, the current JCC and the associate JCC selected 5 months before that. The 5 who were raised in August. In August. And certainly the 3 of them, everybody was receiving. This was the beginning of the first choice. And coming from very different directions. Professional, intelligent, seem to know they can't oppose that to the board. And would be a good advocate for the there was something she didn't have personal experience but close experience where somebody needed to have to get that person through college, and she really seemed to have a heartfelt level of how important the position is, as well as incredible money to protect the whole job. So she really
All right. Any concerns about any of these 3 appointments and reappointments?
The law student.
Law student.
A
second year law student.
Got to have at least 2 years to go.
Oh, I don't know.
I believe it is.
Yeah. I think they're actually. He was, yes. He's a married student.
Any other concerns about these appointments? All right. Any objections to calling the question? Any objections to voting on the reappointments? Any objections to these reappointments?
Yes. To clarify,
we're voting on a slate of these. I hear no objections. We will appoint Amanda Lynn Manixis.
Probably
that. Yeah. And reappoint Mary Beth Grant and Charles Whitcliffe. Yeah.
You're not going to do a roll? No objection.
No objection? I think it's unanimous, yeah. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I adjourn the meeting at 6:15.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.